is KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco. 95.7 The Game. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping by. Our final hour is here, ready for you. 888-957-9570. That's the number. Your phone calls reacting to the Jimmy Garoppolo interview. And in case you missed it, we'll have it for you about 40 minutes from now. We'll do it before we reach the end of the hour. I can promise you, if you missed it, you don't want to, stick around for it. It is coming up. We're about to get out to your phone calls. We'll let you know that it was a... well, it still could be a great night for the National League. It wasn't a great afternoon for the National League, especially if you are a Braves fan. The Braves are still getting pummeled right now in their home ballpark. It is all St. Louis Cardinals, 13-1, I believe, is still, of course, there is a huge, 13-1, top of the eighth inning. It was 10-0 at the end of one. Tonight, we've got the Dodgers trying to play their way into the NLCS after losing the last two World Series. Strasburg versus Walker Buehler. Yeah, if you can give me that, give it to me. I'll enjoy it. I know you will, too. That should be a good one tonight. Just wanted...
it would have to be after the screwing we got today.
Thank you. I would hope so. We're about to take your phone calls here. One real quick return to the text line for a question that I think a lot of people out there struggle and wrestle with. And the question is simply, well, it's more of a statement saying, Damon, we can't keep up with your flip-flopping. Back in the day, you were crapping all over the Niners, and now you're on the Raiders. Look, so when I reported to you that the day of the week was Monday, it was probably Monday. And then come Tuesday, I changed my tune. Not necessarily because I'm a flip-flopper, but because I understand that sometimes it's Monday and sometimes it's Tuesday. I bet you after that, you might find a Wednesday coming. As a matter of fact, today's a Wednesday. I believe yesterday was Tuesday, so my theory holds. Look, things change in sports. Why do I have to explain that to you? Like, if you're covering the London Olympics in the next Olympics, you're not doing it right. You know, I mean, like, I don't get it. I don't get why some of you want me to keep on telling you that Kyle Shanahan hasn't won in the month of October when he has. He finally has. Should I keep on reporting that he hasn't when he has? I mean, things change. I don't understand why we're going to explain this.
Yes, you do. A lot of fans are tribal in nature. And by that, I mean they follow their team no matter what. And their view of their team as one of the most important things in their lives is immutable, whether they are 2-14 or 14-2. So when you have a view of a team, they think that you either like their team along with them or hate their team despite them.
It's a very West Coast thing, Ray.
No, it's not.
No, it really,
it's a universal thing.
Well, it might be universal where you find a little of it everywhere.
Okay. Right.
But hold on. You can walk up to any Mets fan in the middle of the season and say, are they great or do they suck? There's no Mets fan pretending his team's great to feel better about himself or his id or whatever. It's the same way in Chicago. You can't find a Bears quarterback I have a compliment for. I'm not going to pretend any of them have been good. There's an amount of pretending that your team is better than it really is on the West Coast that doesn't exist anywhere else.
No, that's nonsense. And
I've lived other places. You haven't. Don't tell me.
I've been,
you've been
many more places than you have.
I don't
and
know about
I've
that.
Seen it. Trust me, I have.
No,
I've
I don't
lived
know about
twice.
That.
Okay. I'm not going to have an argument with you about where I've been. I'm telling you that when you cite the Mets fan says, I get to say they suck, you don't get to. And that is universal. It's true at Ohio State. It's true at Kansas. It's true at USC. They are all the same kind of fan, which is, I will decide what gets said about my team. You don't get to say anything about them unless it's the same thing that I would have said. And that's it. That's absolutely true. It's not arguable.
No, it is arguable. There are plenty of people living in observable reality. Sports fans of all colors and stripes are ready to tell you if their team is good or bad, not based on their personal attachment, but the season they're actually having, the players they're playing, the payroll that they're throwing out this year. Like, actual tangible evidence coming back to me in real time is something that I am comfortable telling you many sports fans use.
And I'm comfortable telling you that they remain a massive minority.
And this is why
we hate each other.
Thank you. This is John and Benicia. John, what do you got?
I love you guys. You guys are awesome. This conversation is hilarious.
I found it completely
I mean, if you were in it, you'd probably be like, what the hell am I doing for a living?
I made bad choices
along the way. Continue, John. What do you got?
So in regards to what you guys were just talking about, I lived on the East Coast for some time and, you know, born and raised in California. I'm a diehard Niner fan and A's fan. But I totally see what you're saying, Damon, and I agree with you. You know, my opinion of my teams changed, you know, either week to week in the NFL or, you know, week to week or month to month in baseball, depending on the ebb and flows and trades and injuries and this and that. So you got to be open to change of opinion. You're not a flip-flopper. You just be realistic to where your team is at that point.
Just following the bouncing ball. I'm going to follow where the story goes. Sometimes the story goes into your team is good. Sometimes the story goes into your team is bad. That's the way it works in sports. Always. John, thank you very much. Your calls on Garoppolo, on what Ray and I are arguing about at this moment. Well, here's the thing that you might have been right about here, Ray. You talked about the quarterback's fourth quarter comeback stat being more about longevity than maybe skill or ability or who the team is. I think you might be right, because here are the tops. Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton. Russell Wilson is the youngster of the group, followed by Joe Flacco, Alex Smith. Then you got Derek Carr. Then you got Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Ryan Tannehill. He's Ryan Tannehill.
They've been behind a lot.
I didn't think there was
a period in his career when he wasn't awful.
Wasn't a long period.
No, it was not. That's true. But by and large, you had to get through 10 guys before you got to a guy who's had a career of less than 10 years.
888-957-957. Oh, this is Dave in San Jose. Dave, what'd you think of Garoppolo?
Well, first off, I don't think we can call him a game manager because he throws way too many picks. But secondly, a real game manager is Trent Dilfer. You look at Jimmy G and how much he's improving. He throws some dimes out there that could not be thrown by better than Rodgers or Brady themselves. 2 weeks ago, it was the pass to Juice right over his shoulder. You know, that's not game manager to me. That's all I got, guys. Go Niners.
This is where, Dave, thank you very much for the call. So this is going to sound like I'm putting down game managers. And what I hoped we did last segment is explain that the game manager title isn't one of disgrace or should be worn. It's not a badge of shame. But the reason why I'm going to say Jimmy is more of a guy who can keep you on script than he is a game manager is because of the it factor. I don't know if a lot of guys that we put the game manager label on have the it factor as well. And the it factor, by the way, gets Jimmy into trouble. The it factor is the, oh, I wish he could have pulled that back pass that went for pick six the other way, because he thinks he has so much it that he can get it to where it probably wasn't meant to go. And that probably gets him in as much trouble as it does the end zone. But that's, I think, the difference between him. Game manager is a little accusatory of arm talent. And I think Jimmy's got enough arm talent to carry the it factor label as well.
I don't know how to quantify it factor, but I'm looking at the list going back to 1990 of guys and their percentage of their throws and the number of throws that are picked off. I'm already through 75. I haven't seen his name yet. So I think he is often marked as the guy who throws a lot of picks, when in fact, his worst pick day happened in a practice. And two, this is not about number of interceptions. It's about percentage of interceptions. And if he's not in the top 100 of guys basically only in the last 30 years, then that tells you that maybe that's a myth. He might be an erratic thrower, But I don't see that he's thrown a ton of interceptions.
Right. He's not irresponsible with the ball.
He can be, but it doesn't show itself.
Someone's like, any idea if Alex Smith was the first to be labeled a game manager?
Probably was, because I didn't remember it either as a thing, good or ill, before then. So, you know, he stands out as, oh, he's a game manager.
It does. And when it was put on him, it was not meant to be a compliment, but maybe it's morphed into one now more than ever before. Here's a legit question that sounds like it's unfair and it's an easy no, but maybe it's not. Because everyone will admit he doesn't have the biggest arm. And then, is Tom Brady a game manager?
Yeah. Hell yes. He manages it better than almost anybody who's ever done the job. And he's got six rings. So that tells you what a horrible thing being a game manager is. A quarterback is asked to be a game manager as part of his skill set. Guys with big arms aren't necessarily game managers. I don't know that you would call Brett Favre a game manager. He's a game changer and he's a game breaker. But he's not a game manager because he's going to win games doing things that his coaches often were screaming, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, thank God you did that.
Text line says, you know, Trent Dilfer was the first game manager. I don't think he was.
I don't think anybody ever mentioned him as such.
Right, but not only did he not get mentioned as such because we just didn't have the phrase available to us back then, but I think he was actually less than that. And I'm not here to disrespect Trent Dilfer's accomplishments, but he, as much as any other Super Bowl winning quarterback, felt along for the ride more than he was driving. And that, I don't even think Trent got to game manager status. He was borderline game non-functional at times.
Custodian.
That's perfect. With all due respect to Brian Cardinal, that's perfect.
No, it's you know, he was there. Okay, if you have to have the ball, please don't hurt us with it. And that was basically, our defense will handle all the heavy lifting. Just don't fumble four times, please. And that was it. And again, even at that, it's not insulting. It's just, you know, guys have skills. That's it.
Is Derek Carr a game manager in your opinion? He has a top-notch arm, but he does check it down a lot. I think he's got fewer yards in air traveled per pass than any other quarterback in football this year. But they're having success with it. So, yeah, I do think you can say he's a game manager functioning within a design, within a plan. Gruden can put together a plan and a design. So it's no longer a demerit against him to call him that.
It's more a function of the fact that the main thrust of Oakland's offense now is Josh Jacobs. It's not that hard. He is their best player. He is their most important offensive player right now.
Who?
The running back.
Yo, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And if that means you're a game manager, well, how's your team doing? Is your offense in the top half of the league in terms of efficiency? And there are ways to measure that without going to total yards. If you do that, you're doing fine. I mean, it's the idea that game manager is a pejorative because it automatically implies that you won't throw the ball down the field whenever you can is what's wrong here. The definition of game manager is not an insult. It's a good thing. You want your guy to manage his game.
What's the difference between game manager and system quarterback? Or is there no real difference? There is no. I mean, that's
you could
there's
be a bad game manager, but be a system quarterback. The system might stink.
Well, there is no, and there is no quarterback not in some system. Technically, every quarterback is a product of whatever system is being run.
True. I think a system quarterback, that's a phrase that gets attached to guys who do nothing spectacular at any point. And I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is a system quarterback, but I think he is a game manager. And if you gave me a choice, I'd rather be considered a game manager as a quarterback than a system quarterback. Because a system means that you're inflexible. You're going to do the same things no matter what all the time because that's what the system says you should do. It means you're not capable of creativity. Creativity could be audibling out of a pass play to a pitch out that gets you the first down. That's game management.
Less than 30 minutes away from a replay of a fantastic interview with Jimmy Garoppolo, we got Max in San Jose. Max, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. But I just wanted to say I think Jimmy is more than just a game manager. So far, the way the run game has been, you don't really need him to go berserk and throw 40 times a game and 300 yards. But when you look at the Steelers game, I think that should prove to you what you need to know about Jimmy Garoppolo. They won a game that they shouldn't have won and a game they wouldn't have won the past couple of seasons with Beathard or even Mullins at quarterback.
You know, one of those games that really goes into the what's a quarterback's record really tell you about him. And we asked that specifically to Jimmy. You'll hear it when we replay the interview for you, Max, and thank you so much for the call. You know, we straight up ask him, how do you interpret your record and what it means? And he immediately just pivoted to it means I'm playing with good teammates. A great quarterback record usually means you're on a good team. That's the thing. There is no more team-dependent outcome than football's outcomes. I mean, and this is where things get a little scary with Mike McGlinchey now joining the list of injured players. Mike McGlinchey being out means you are to your fourth and fifth tackles. Oh, by the way, if you're just joining us today and you were hard at work all afternoon, this is why we can't have nice things. Mike McGlinchey, 4 to 6 weeks. Arthroscopic knee surgery. He's going in for a scope, clean it up. Hurt his knee late Monday Night Football. You probably didn't even see his understudy come in. Daniel Brunskill has been named the starting tackle going into Los Angeles to take on Aaron Donald and the Rams, facing a two-game losing streak for L.A. Things just got even more interesting down in L.A. Things are going to get interesting for the Dodgers in L.A. tonight. We got more interesting phone calls. Here is Larry in San Francisco. Larry, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon and Ray. I was listening to your conversation about fans and holding you, Damon, to a higher standard on your opinion. And I'm in the Ray camp. We as fans, we can say they stink and change our mind. But when we listen to radio personalities, we like to call them out and hold them accountable. And I don't think that's a West Coast thing. I think that's a national thing where we will be tribal in nature when it comes to our team. And so I think if Ray and jump in, I think that was the point that was being made. And I get it. You do get to change based on new information. But as fans, that's, and I'll speak for myself, that's how I look at it. And I relish the at the moment I can call you out and say you were wrong and go down that road. And I want to say one more thing. Was Joe Montana the ultimate game manager, given Dan Marino and John Elway was in his era? Gunslingers?
That's it's not bad, Larry. Thank you very much for the call.
It's not bad, but he would throw balls that, frankly, under normal circumstances, you don't want to throw. I mean, the catch, you know. He was trying to throw the ball away. He didn't throw it well enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned into like the one of the biggest moments in the history of the franchise.
Funny, I was talking to a buddy of mine whose local sports opinion has been forged in being a 30-year season ticket holder for all the teams around here. And he really, really, this guy loves the Niners. This guy loves the Giants. And I asked him straight up, because I always thought, right, that the 1996 Super Bowl team and Steve Young was like the peak Niners. I always thought that was the best team, the best defense that they rolled out. And I always thought that Young was better than Montana, if only because Young had a dual threat nature about him where Joe Montana didn't. And I said, what would you ever think? You know, was it Montana or was it Young? And he said, look, I love Steve. I love Steve more than any other quarterback that has ever played, except Joe Montana. He said, look, Joe, you forget about this. Joe could beat you 45-3. He could beat you 7-3. He could beat you in the rain. He could beat you in the dome. He could beat you when the sun was shining. He could beat you when it was dark out. He could beat you when the – it just – he had more different ways to beat you. Is that right? Do you remember that? If someone told you that there was the difference between those two, would you agree with that?
I think that Montana had a better grasp of the offense that was presented to him because he was less of an improviser. I mean, he could roll out and he could create things, but for the most part, he was on a team where he was gifted with the best wide receiver of all time, a probable Hall of Famer, and a likely Hall of Famer as a tight end. He also had a potential Hall of Famer as a running back and one of the great offensive lines of all time. His gift was he could make a play when you needed him to make it, but if you didn't need him to make it, he could find the guy who could make it, which makes him a little bit of a system quarterback, a lot of a game manager, but a guy who could create. Young was more improvisational because his team wasn't as good.
It had to be.
Yeah. The best team they ever had was the 84 team because they beat everybody stupid. And I haven't looked up Montana's numbers that year, but they came into every game saying, we're two touchdowns better. Now we're just going to argue about margin of victory. They lost one game all year.
888-957-9570. Pete and Turlock. What do you got, Pete?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to make a comment. As Jimmy G is only going to get better because you look at the coach that he's got right now, and, you know, they're going to adapt to each other, and nobody was born, you know, knowing all the plays and executing all the plays. So I think he's only going to get better as time goes on, so we just need to be patient with him. We were patient with all the great ones. You know, why not give this guy a chance to be great, and I think he's got the right coach for it.
Appreciate it, Pete. Thank you very much. This is Gio in the city. What do you got, Gio?
Hey, how's it going? So I was wondering about what you guys were talking about earlier with system quarterbacks and game manager quarterbacks. And I have a good one, but I was wondering about what you guys think about this. For system quarterback, I thought of Tom Brady, but then Aaron Rodgers. Now I ruined it. But as a system quarterback is Tom Brady, and as a game manager, other way around. System quarterback as Tom Brady, and then a game manager as Aaron Rodgers. I was wondering if you think that's right. Could they actually flip and flop, or none of the above?
Well, your question is basically Tom Brady is a Packer, Aaron Rodgers is a Patriot, or the Patriots who we think they are, and is – here's the thing. Those are the two guys that probably are among the most interchangeable because they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. They're both wildly accurate with the balls that they throw. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers throws even a better deep ball than Tom Brady ever did. So I think that Aaron Rodgers is probably the easiest plug-and-play into a Bill Belichick system where you'd say the drop-off would be negligible. You put Brady in Green Bay, I mean, Mike McCarthy might have gotten fired last year. He could be fighting with the new guy, LaFleur, this year. I really don't know. I think it's with all due respect to Tom Brady, I think it's easier to mirror what Brady's done if you're Aaron Rodgers in Philadelphia or in New England than it might have been for Brady to look like Tom Brady if he just got to Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't know because those are two guys who solve problems in completely different ways. I think Brady is less headstrong in terms of on-field, this is what I want to do. They are both equally demanding of all their teammates. Brady is less demanding of Belichick than Rodgers was of McCarthy.
He'd go after his assistants, though. I mean, Brady blowing up on sidelines against all sorts of coordinators.
But, you know, there was a wall that he didn't cross. And the only time he really did cross it is how you got Jimmy Garoppolo.
888-957-9570. More of your calls right around the corner. Don't you go anywhere. We'll let you know whether or not this Dodgers game gets underway. It's supposed to in about 10, 15 minutes from right now. Right about the same time, we're going to be going back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't you go anywhere. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, sans Kolsky this afternoon. A couple people on the text line are like, where's Matt today? Matt and Albie are observing, if you will, their religious holiday. So when we come on back, we've got Jimmy Garoppolo around the corner. More of your calls. Don't go anywhere here on 95.7 The Game. It's Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Yeah, baby.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
If you missed Jimmy Garoppolo with us earlier today, stick around. He's coming up in 7 minutes. You're going to want to listen. He was fantastic today. We asked him about everything. Believe it or not, he still hasn't met Michael Jordan. Jordan brand ambassador hasn't met Michael Jordan. What the hell's going on there?
He's not big enough.
Yeah. Maybe with a little work on it, Jimmy would become famous. Lead
he's
a team
famous,
one day.
But Jordan passed famous 40 years ago.
Oh, you're right about that.
So basically, it's, yeah, tell me what you've done since you've been famous.
At least he was cool enough, Jimmy was, to admit that that's the one guy in the world that might leave him tongue-tied. I've said this, Ray. I don't know what, I know you don't feel emotions like a real human boy. But had a debate one night with a couple buddies of mine. Like, what sporting death will bring you to your emotional knees? And for me, it's Jordan. I mean, Jordan represented omnipotent power in my sporting life. And when he actually does, when he shuffles off this mortal coil, that's going to be one that lets me know, oh, it's coming for me too. Like, if you can kill Jordan, you can officially kill anybody.
I mean, I get that because it's a personal issue. For me, it will probably be Bill Russell. Before that, though, it was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Because that was the guy. I mean, he basically sent a middle finger to the part of America that thought it was running America. And you said, I'm not doing it just because you told me to. And Bill Russell was the same way. And when Ali went and when Russell goes, they will be equal statements about great players who achieved more than anyone around them, but made sure their humanity came first. I think Kareem might affect me that way too. Jordan was more a phenomenal basketball technician, but I don't think his death will move me the same way. Also, I didn't grow up in Chicago where Jordan was the be-all and end-all.
Well, and look, it was Michael Jordan didn't mean anything from a commenting on society standpoint, nothing. But he was the single biggest athletic creation of my teen years and my childhood, and it was the first guy that ever really separated himself from his entire peer group is I am more than them.
No question. I mean, because
in my
those
lifetime.
Are no, but the point is, in everybody's lifetime, those are the years when the deepest impressions are made, and it's why when people get upset about, well, I think LeBron is better than Jordan. And people get upset about that. Says, all that means is you're 20 years older than he is. LeBron mattered more to him in his most formative years. And in 10 years, it'll be somebody else. Because that's the basic churn of time. What you remember in your teens and 20s is what sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, nostalgia. Very powerful drug.
Yeah, because you haven't made enough memories to have to worry about, well, where does this guy fit? He says, well, he fits first because he's the guy I remember most.
Did you ever get one-on-one with Ali?
No.
Steve Danville.
He didn't do many of those.
No, he didn't.
To be honest
with you. Steven Danville, you're on 95.7 The Game. Steve, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So I was listening to your list of accomplishments of Joe Montana. He'd beat you in the sun. He could beat you in the heat. You forgot to say he could beat you in the snow and the ice. So in 1977... Earl Campbell won the Heisman Trophy. Texas was ranked number one, undefeated, big favorite to win the Cotton Bowl. And they invited Notre Dame, who was fifth ranked. And the night before the game, they had this huge ice and snow storm in Dallas, which is kind of unusual But the Texas boys just could not play well. They lost 38-10. It was a one-sided affair. And Joe Montana, who didn't even start the season, won the game, turned out to be a national championship game, and they won the national championship beating the heavily favored Texas Longhorns.
It's a good little walk down memory lane there, Steve. Thank you.
You betcha.
It got him from being like a sixth-round pick to a third-round pick.
Really?
That
big of a game. All right, Poe, Fremont, and then we're pretty much going to get you out to Jimmy G. What's going on, Poe?
What's up, guys? Just wanted to make a couple points. As far as nostalgic moments, 94-95 season, Steve Young and the 49ers, they dominated the league, especially after Steve Young went off on George Seifert on the sideline when they got rolled by the Eagles. After that, it was all Niners all year long. As far as Jimmy G, he's a little bit of a gunslinger. 2 years ago, he came on and he won those five games. There's a few games that he just put together a couple of winning drives and he made those five wins. Now he got hurt, and I think Shanahan got the cuffs on him a little bit, so he's bringing him along slowly. But you know, with the gunslinger, you also get those INTs. So. You know, you gotta take those as well. So I think Jimmy G got a little bit of gunslinger, but he's coming slowly. That's why he looks like a game manager right now.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for the call. What Jimmy G is going to look like in Los Angeles probably is going to have an awful lot to do with the protection that he's getting. I mean, if there was a get-it-out-fast game coming, it's this one with the news that not only is Joe Staley down, but today Mike McGlinchey joins Joe Staley on the surgery table. He is going to be out 4 to 6 with knee surgery. What's that going to mean going forward? Well, this is why we were very happy to talk with Jimmy Garoppolo today. Thanks to the 49ers for setting this one up for us, especially on a short week. If there were any week, I was sure we weren't going to get Jimmy Garoppolo. It was this one, but indeed we did. He joined us last hour, and in case you missed it, here we go. Look who's available to us right now.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Appearing on the Dial Pad guest line, Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. We're very happy to welcome here to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Kolsky today, just Damon and Ratto. Jimmy Garoppolo, 49ers starting quarterback, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you very much, Jimmy. Good to have you here today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. A lot better after that music for the entrance. I appreciate
it. You like that? Yeah, that we play that just for you. So when things weren't good, it sounded like this.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
But now we're back, baby.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Let's keep it up, right?
I like the first one a lot better.
Fair enough.
Awesome.
You know, Jimmy, when we had you on today, I'm sure you were expecting a knee injury question, but it was probably about yours, not Mike McGlinchey. Man, we just learned here on air that he is going to be out for 4 to 6. What's that mean to you as you get ready for Los Angeles?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's Mike, he's a hell of a football player, hell of a guy, you know, just in the locker room. And, you know, you hate to see it. You know, he was battling through it all game and everything. And just it's so impressive what those guys up front go through. And so, you know, it's next man up mentality now.
It's a next man up league, but you are missing now a fullback. And on your depth chart, there is no next man up. Like, you're going to have to sign a fullback to have a fullback, another one. It just feels like, man, without both tackles and your fullback and a running game that's just popping everywhere going to Los Angeles, it's like, God, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, you know, it's that's just, I don't know, that's football, though. You know what you're signing up for. So it's, I don't know, it's just we have a good mentality in the locker room. You know, guys are stepping up, and we're filling those roles as we need to. And, you know, it's up to each and every guy when his number's called to go answer it.
All that said, how much of today have you spent bubble wrapping your remaining offensive linemen?
Those guys are warriors up front, man. I mean, what they go through on a day-to-day and game-to-game basis, it's just it's incredible, and you got to give them all the credit in the world. So it'll be a good test for us this week, that's for sure. It'll be tough.
Is this the kind of injury that when you put it on top of the Staley injury sort of makes the organization rethink how it approaches an offensive game plan? Or do you just go, We're going to do what we do. We're not going to change what we were going to do to begin with. It's just we expect somebody else to do that job the same way that he did it.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both. You know, you don't want to lose your identity as an offense, you know, especially when we're running the ball the way we are. It's just, I mean, you don't get that every day. So it's one of those things that the next guy up, you know, you try to do what his strengths are and put him in good situations to succeed. And I think our coaching staff does that better than anyone, you know, just the way they game plan and the in-game adjustments they make even. It puts us in good situations as players.
Jimmy, if a running back is a quarterback's best friend, you got like three or four best friends on this team, don't you?
Amen. Yeah, it's a nice luxury.
They've been phenomenal. What's been the key? I mean, what do you think has turned this into a year where the Niners are literally, through four games, having their best season in 60 years just running the ball?
Well, I think it starts up front. You know, those guys up front are paving the way and creating the holes for the backs, and then it goes to the tight ends, fullbacks, and even to the skill guys, the receivers on the outside. I mean, those guys, it's a group effort in the run game, and everyone is committed to it. The coaches, like I said, put us in great situations to have a chance to be successful, and then at the end of the day, the running backs just make it happen. I mean, it's a great group of guys. They all get along with each other, and they all kind of bring a little bit of a different element to the run game.
By the way, your tight end brings a different element to the run game too. That guy's a little blockerish, is he not?
Oh, he's unbelievable. And he barely gets any credit for it too. That's the crazy part, and it shows up day in and day out every game. It's he's a monster.
Has the game slowed down for you this year? And maybe part of that is because the running game is now more prevalent than it was 2 years ago or even last year. But have you noticed that the game just seems simpler and more ordered now that you've got a few games under your belt?
I wouldn't say it's slowed down. It's more so having an understanding for the offense, I think. It just has made me put me in a more comfortable situation. You know, there's not as much thinking out on the field. There's more, you know what you're doing, and now it's just go play. And so when you could play like that, you're playing faster, more aggressive, and it just allows you to be yourself.
Jimmy Garoppolo here on 95.7 The Game. It's a pleasure to have him on, and obviously you're now 12-2 as a starter. We spend an awful lot of time in the media debating like a quarterback's personal record. Wins and losses are sort of redefined around major league pitchers. So what does it mean to you? Like, forget what we think about it. What does it mean to you that you're 12-2 now as an NFL starter?
It means I'm surrounded by a lot of good people. There's a lot of people around me that, you know, it's a group effort. It's not just one person going out there. It's, it takes a whole organization to win a football game, and it's not easy winning a football game. So at the end of the day, you know, being the quarterback of the team, it's my job to go out there and get wins, and really that's all that matters.
How much more do you get to feel like yourself this year after last season was defined by the rug being pulled right out from underneath you?
Yeah, it's different. I keep telling myself that last year was a blessing in disguise, and I kept telling myself it was going to make me a better quarterback, and you know, there's a lot of positives to take out of it. But it's tough sitting the whole year with an ACL. I mean, it's something that I wish on nobody, and I think it's it got us to where we're at now. So you know, we just got to keep this thing going now.
That said, having a bye after 3 weeks, did you almost feel like, hey, I'm just getting started here, and now you're making me take a week off? I mean, is it a frustrating time to have a bye, especially when you're going good?
Not frustrating, just different. You know, it's something that I've never had before. But I don't know, it's kind of just, it is what it is. So you got to make the best of your situation. I didn't even go anywhere. I kind of just stayed here because it didn't feel like right going anywhere, I guess. I don't know. It was too early in the season. So it's just, we've had a good mindset every week, and it's just, we've taken it one game at a time. And I think if we keep doing that throughout the year, we'll be happy with the result.
How would you, what do you think of your wide receivers right now? There's been talk about what isn't working, what is working, who you are or are not comfortable with, whether they're even putting on the uniform because they're injured right now. Where are you standing with your wide receivers?
Oh, I love those guys. Feel comfortable with all of them, confident in all of them. And they all have a different element to their game. They all just kind of they have specific skills that we try to, you know, bring out in them and let those shine. And I think those guys, when they've gotten their numbers called, they've played great, you know. The ball comes their way, whether it's run after catch, making a tough catch in tight coverage. It's I mean, those guys, they show up, and it's exciting to have a group like that.
Preparing for the Rams, or really any team on a short week, where do you feel that lack of time for full preparation, or do you?
Well, it's definitely different, yeah. Especially coming off the bye with the Monday night game, it felt like it took forever to get to that game, and now it's a quick turnaround. So, you try to play catch-up as quickly as you can. You know, as soon as that next day comes, when Tuesday morning was here, you know, we were under the Rams. So you try to play catch-up as quickly as you can. The game planning is a little different, but, at the end of the day, you know, got to be ready for Sunday.
Jimmy, how many practices did you get to see out of Nick Bosa before you said, oh, my God, this guy's it? And I know he didn't even really practice very much.
Yeah, I mean, he only probably went for about a week in training camp or so. I mean, honestly, from, you know, when you see a rookie make a couple plays the first day, you're like, okay, you know, maybe beginner's luck or whatever it is. But then it just, I mean, it was consistent. And not only in the pass game, it was the run game too. It was like, this guy's showing up, you know, he's near the ball every time and he's disrupting everything. And it, maybe a couple practice into it, I could tell. It was different.
Jimmy Garoppolo here on 95.7 The Game. So what do you think about the job Jacoby Brissett has done in Indianapolis in the wake of Andrew Luck's sudden retirement? Do you guys get to know each other very well in New England?
Oh, yeah. Kobe's my guy. He's awesome. I'm so happy for him, too. I was watching the past game against the Chiefs and everything. And just, I mean, the guy, you know, he waited in line for his opportunity, got it, and now he's taking advantage of it. So I couldn't be happier for him. He's an awesome dude and just great teammate.
Does the Wolf Pack check in on each other?
We try to from time to time, yeah.
How much time during the course of a week do you spend looking at stuff around the league? Or is that wasted time in your mind? I mean, how much of a football fan do you get to be about the 31 teams that aren't yours?
It's tough. You know, more so the coaches and the scouts, they'll look at that stuff, and if something stands out to them, you know, they'll bring it to our attention. But, maybe I'm, you know, flipping through the stations, I might see a game for a couple seconds on Thursday night or something like that, but it's tough. I mean, especially during the season, it's just you don't have time to do any of that stuff or to be a fan. So it's tough.
Jimmy Garoppolo, let me ask you this. And they told us, by the way, that you got a quarterback meeting. So if you got to go, you just let us know you got to go here. But I need to ask you about being a Jordan brand ambassador. Two questions.
Okay.
Did you get to meet Jordan?
I haven't yet. No, unfortunately. But it should be coming.
Like, when you do, I'm guessing a lot of people get tongue-tied around you. I know you grew up in Chicago worshiping at the altar. Will you be a fanboy when you meet Michael Jordan?
Oh, man, he might be the only person that I would be a fanboy of. Since I was little, just growing up, watching those championship runs, I mean, I was very young, but I could still vividly remember watching those in the living room. And it was just, it's so cool just to, I don't know, when I get the chance to meet him, it will be a special moment.
As a brand ambassador, do you get every pair of Jordans?
I'm pretty close, I bet. I got two rooms full of them, so yeah, there's a good amount.
Can you call them and say, I like this style, turn them into football cleats?
Well, that's a little tougher. I mean, the football cleats, you know, they have specific ones that they're showing off, I guess, for this season or next season, you know what I mean? So it's kind of at their discretion. But, yeah, I would assume they would be open for it, maybe in the off-season talks.
So as a brand ambassador, they want you to be a good ambassador for the brand.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I wasn't wearing Jordans. I love the Jordans.
Favorite pair?
Oh, the threes. I mean, everyone likes the ones and 11s, which I can't go wrong with either, but the threes are my favorite.
You really pimped that well. I mean, you really covered the brand well. You should have met him before this. Cause
totally.
You sold fully.
I appreciate that, guys. Well, I mean, hopefully in the offseason we'll get that done.
Maybe we can get Ray a pair of Jordans.
No, we don't need to do that. I'm not going to sit here and mine for shoes. We're trying to get him shoes.
You don't like Jordans?
I like them fine, but I'm not going to go on the air and pimp. Please give me shoes. That's undignified.
All right, well.
There's a lot of dignity here, Jimmy. We're worried about it at all times.
Here, you know what?
I'm sensing that.
Yeah, send Damon a pair.
I'll tell you
because
what.
Because he'll drool all over them and he'll slip right in.
Keep the shoes. This is more important. I'm getting up this morning. Bob Lang of the Niners is like, hey, Jimmy today. And I said, thanks, Bob. Really appreciate it. I look up. I tell the wife, honey, got Jimmy Garoppolo on the show today. Do you have any questions? My wife's question for you, Jimmy, is can you make her birthday party? It's January 28th. And look, it's real simple. You're either going to be very unavailable because that's the week before the Super Bowl or incredibly available.
Well, hopefully I'm unavailable. I mean, that's what we're hoping for right now. So we might have to put a rain check on that one.
Fair enough. But Super Bowl or bust now, it means a lot. Thank you, Jimmy. Really appreciate you coming on with us. Appreciate having you on today. Good luck as you get ready for the Rams.
Definitely. Appreciate it, guys. It was good talking to you.
49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And, of course, when you get a little Gucci, you never wear it just once. Thanks so much for sticking around for the Jimmy G replay. Thanks to all of you for tuning in today. Really appreciate it. We want to thank Nick Bosa's pop, John Bosa, for stopping on by. Great stuff from Steve Mariucci this afternoon. Thanks to everyone who called in for the name game. Thank you so much, Nash, filling in for Albie. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Elena. Thank you, Rashad, for your help today. Really appreciate it. It will be back tomorrow at full strength. I believe Kolsky will be back in the meantime. For Ray Ratto, I'm Damon Bruce. Thanks so much for listening. And please do remember, Kovanchowski, you're coming up next. And sports don't build character, they reveal it.